Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
Get your Bibles out and go with me to 2 Chronicles, okay? Old Testament, 2 Chronicles chapter number 6. We're going to get there eventually, all right? 2 Chronicles chapter number 6. Tonight, I want to talk to you about God directions before great difficulties. God directions, I need everybody to read that word right there in the center, before great difficulties. You know, Jesus made an interesting statement when he said that in the world you will have trouble. But he said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And Jesus gave us tools that we would have so that when we encounter the trouble that's in the world, that we would be prepared for it. And this book, some people say it's antiquated. I just say it's just been lying dormant, resident on the shelves of people's bookshelves in their homes, on their nightstands, even in their Bible app on their phone. It has been lying dormant, but God gave it to us a long time ago. Why? So that when you encounter a trial, a challenge, a pressure, a problem, God gives you his directions before great difficulties. Because I don't know anybody who wants to serve God, who's endeavoring to serve God, who doesn't have any problems. If you have no problems, would you please pray for me? But we all encounter problems. That's one of those things you don't have to pray for. It's not like you have to confess the promise of problems over your life. No, you just hang out long enough and you'll have some. Have kids, you'll have more. More money, more problems, right? Get a promotion. All of a sudden, you got problems. You become the manager. You thought everything, all the managerial problems would go away. Now you're the manager. Everybody has a problem with you. See, in our lives, we're going to encounter things, challenges and trials and temptations. I mean, the moment you gave your heart to the Lord, you got a target on your back. Why? Because the devil now hates you. Before, you were one of his. And he's out there like, I thought we were homies. Weren't we hanging out? Weren't we having a good time? I mean, I was going to kill you in the end, but, you know, just let me do it. It's fine, but now you gave your heart to the Lord, and what's going on? He's shooting darts at you, trying to take you out, trying to mess you up, trying to trip you up. But God, knowing this, gives us everything that we need. The Bible says that God's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And so tonight, some God directions before great difficulties. I want to make a statement. I'm going to put it up on the overheads for you guys. And I believe that this will lay the foundation of where we're going tonight. What will resource you in a problem is what you have developed in peace. I believe that this is part of the reason why God gives believers, when they first get saved, almost like a period of rest. There's just kind of like this honeymoon grace period. It seems like, man, everything's going great. I gave my heart to the Lord, man. Sunshines, butterflies, and rainbows. You know what I mean? It's like everything's good. But maybe you notice, like, after a while, that little grace period goes away. For some of you, you never had the grace period. You're going, I don't know what you're talking about, Pastor. All hell broke loose when I gave my heart to the Lord. But see, God already gave us what we need. But there are things, there's times and there's seasons that we go through and things that we encounter, and what you develop in peace is going to help you in the problems. See, the resource that you're going to pull from in the middle of a problem is what God has developed you in the time of peace. See, if you're not going through a challenge, a problem, a trial currently, you need to be preparing. You need to be getting ready because something is going to come up. Now, that may sound fatalistic, Pastor, you're so negative. I can't believe that you would be fearful and expecting bad things. I'm declaring the good things. I'm confessing the promises. Keep doing it, baby, but just get ready because it's coming. I've been around long enough to know that when you overcome something, the devil's going to go away and he's going to look for an opportune time, just like he did with Jesus. If he did it to Jesus, how much more you and how much more me? Because he thinks we're chumps and he thinks he's going to take us out. You may have heard the phrase, let's cross that bridge before we get there. You ever heard that, right? I'm going to cross that bridge before we get there. Let's have that conversation up front. Let's make sure that we plan ahead. Let's make sure that we do what we need to do now so that when we get there, we'll know what we're doing and how we're doing it. I believe that's the type of preparation that we need in our lives. We're addressing an issue before we ever encounter it. So how do we develop the spiritual strength to endure the problems that we face? How do we do this? If we're going to cross the bridge before we get there, if we know there's problems coming and we know that the resource we're going to pull from in the problem is the things that we develop in peace, what are the areas that we need to develop in our lives so that when the challenges come up, when the problems arise, What are we going to be pulling from? First thing is this, is prayer. Prayer. Now, a lot of people use prayer as their last resource. I don't know where else to turn. I don't know what else to do. I guess I'll pray and I'll talk to God about this. But God doesn't want prayer as your last defense. He wants it as your first resource. He wants this to be the things that you're already doing. And did you know that you can pray about your future? Isn't that an amazing thought? You know, there's people in the Bible that prayed, and they prayed about the future. One of them was Jesus. Did you know that Jesus prayed for you? Why? Because he knew that you were going to face challenges and trials and problems. He knew that there was going to be the devil coming after you and people that would persecute you. He knew that there were going to be things that would try and take you away from him. And so what does Jesus do? He says, I pray for my disciples, but I pray also for those that will believe their message. That's you, and that's me. Jesus prayed for us. You can look it up in John, the 16th chapter and 17th chapter, the high priestly prayer of Jesus. It's absolutely amazing. And these prayers that we pray beforehand will benefit us when the right times come. See, God knows when you need the answers to your own prayers. You know, if you say, God, give me wisdom for my future, you know, there's going to come a moment where God will give you the wisdom. You may not have it right when you pray. You might get something, but you may not have it right when you pray. It might not be until that moment shows up in your life and it hits you smack in the face and God says, hey, remember when you prayed for the wisdom that you need to encounter this situation? Here it is. And he drops it on you right then. Why? Because God is that good. And he knows what we need before we ask. But when we ask, if you're praying prayers over your future, I pray prayers over my children, over their future. God, keep them safe. God, when they get to the point of getting married, bring them to the right person, the right time, the right way. May they not awaken love before it's time, God. I pray that they're pure and holy up until their marriage, and I pray that they have great marriages. I pray for them. I pray over their future. I pray over their business. I pray that they prosper. I pray over their health. I pray over my wife and myself, our future, and the things that are going on. I'm already praying for myself when the time comes for me to lay this mic down on the clip the last time and go and retire and do something else or just be in the background and encourage someone else. I'm already praying for that. Why? Because I know that there's going to be problems during that time. I'm going to be a problem. They're going to be a problem. The church is going to be a problem. So I'm praying right now over the future. We need to pray not just in the midst of problems, but before a problem ever hits. There's a humorous prayer that says something like this: Dear Lord, so far I've done all right. I haven't gossiped, haven't lost my temper, haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. I'm really glad about that. But in a few minutes, God, I'm going to get out of bed. And from then on, I'm going to need a lot more help. Anybody can identify with that prayer? Come on. I know I'm right there with you. You still there in 2 Chronicles? I want to show you a prayer that prays over the future. This is King Solomon. King Solomon was the wisest king that Israel ever knew up until the time that Jesus came, because Jesus said one wiser than Solomon is now in your midst. One greater than Solomon is here. And so Jesus comes and gives us more wisdom, but up until this time, Solomon had more wisdom than anybody from before and even anybody after him. And so Solomon is praying, and he starts this prayer talking to God as the Spirit of God descends on the temple. He's just finished the temple. But then he wants to pray, and he wants to cover some bases with God before they ever get there. I'm going to start reading verse number 22. Take a look at it with me in 2 Chronicles, chapter number 6, starting in verse number 22. Solomon says this: if, everybody say if. Notice, this could happen. So he says, if anyone sins against his neighbor and is forced to take an oath, and it comes and takes an oath before your altar in this temple, then hear from heaven and act and judge your servants, bringing retribution on the wicked by bringing his way on his own head, and justifying the righteous by giving him according to his righteousness. Verse 24, or if, everybody say if. If your people Israel are defeated before an enemy because they have sinned against you, and return and confess your name and pray and make supplication before you in this temple, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your people Israel and bring them back to the land which you gave to them and their fathers. I want to point out for a second, God has answered this prayer several times. Israel was deported from their own land, and God brought them back into their land, and then they were deported again, and then they were brought back. This has happened over and over. See, Solomon was already praying this prayer before it ever happened, before they ever sinned against God. Verse 26, When the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against you, when they pray towards this place and confess your name and turn from their sin because you afflict them, then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your servants, your people Israel, that you may teach them the good way in which they should walk and send rain on your land, which you have given to your people as an inheritance. When there's famine in the land, pestilence or blight or mildew, locusts, grasshoppers, when there's enemies besiege them in the land or cities, whatever plague or whatever sickness there is, whatever prayer, whatever supplication is made by anyone or by all your people, Israel, when each one knows his own burden, his own grief, and spreads out his hands to this temple, then hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and forgive and give to everyone according to all his ways, whose heart you know, for you alone know the hearts of all the sons of men. Verse 31, that they may fear you to walk in your ways as long as they live in the land which you gave to our fathers. I want you to notice, before they ever sinned, before they were ever sent away, before any of this ever happened, here's Solomon in wisdom. What is he doing? He's covering the bases in prayer before they ever get there. And God, over and over and over again, answered Solomon's prayers. So you know that God is no respecter of persons. Bible says that if Elijah was a man with passions like us, and he could pray and ask that God shut up the heavens, and for 3.5 years there was no rain on the land, and then Elijah could pray and rain would pour down on the land again, how much more does God answer the prayers of his saints who cry out to him day and night? You got to cover the base before you ever get there. Let's cross that bridge in prayer. Let's go there. Let's pray over your future. About ready to get a promotion? What are you doing? I'm praying over the position, right? About ready to go into college? About ready to graduate? Hey, let's pray over the future. Let's believe God for great things that are ahead. About ready to get married? Looking forward to getting married? Man, I tell you, you single people, you ought to be praying for your spouse now. Because they might be out there messing around. And you need the Holy Ghost to get them. To bring them to this church, to these altars, so that y'all can meet, all right? Don't missionary date. Oh, well, Pastor, you don't understand. I do. No. Plain and simple. Pray for them. Pray for them. Believe God. Cross those bridges before you ever get there. God directs us before great difficulties. What else? How else do we develop the spiritual strength to endure when the problems and the challenges come against us? Second thing is this, is people. People. There's people that you need in your life to help you through problems, challenges. And that means that in a time of peace, you got to get the right people in place. Now, people are not pawns to be used by you. There's something called relational equity, where you are creating and developing friendships that you're putting in so that when the time comes that you need somebody in your corner, that you can make a withdrawal. You understand? If all it is problems, they're going to be like, man, that guy, he only calls me when he has a problem. But if you're developing this in a time of peace, if you're like, hey, let's hang out. Hey, let's talk. Hey, let's do a Bible study. Meet me at Starbucks or wherever, you know, and let's go get a cup of coffee and let's study the Word together. See, the people that you allow to be close to you will either bring you back to Christ and anchor you, or they're going to lead you away from Christ and let you loose. But you got to have the right people around you, and that's what you develop in the times of peace. Frederick the Great said, the more I get to know people, the more I love my dog. Anybody ever feel that way? You guys remember Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter? He said, crocodiles are easy. They try to kill and eat you. People are harder. Sometimes they pretend to be your best friend first. And while we all may have had negative experiences with people that produce these types of comments, we also have had positive encounters and interchanges with people as well. Life-changing moments happen when someone is there for you, when someone encourages you, or when someone loves you through a challenging time. I could probably ask a question. Can anyone in this room think of somebody in their life that they're so glad, a teacher, a coach, a parent, maybe there was a person in your life somewhere in there that was encouraging to you and changed your life? Anybody can raise their hand and say, I know somebody. Look at this, all over the place. Most every hand in the place is up. See, that's why it's so important that now you start to find the right people to bring around you. Because in a moment of challenge, in a moment of trial, they're going to be the people to turn you back to Jesus. They're going to be the ones to say, hey, come on, let's pray. They're going to be the ones to say, hey, you've got this, let's get back in faith. They're going to be the ones that when you want to just let someone have it, when you want to gossip, when you want to divide, they're going to be the ones to say, hey, grow up, be mature. The Bible says, go to your brother, take care of the issue. Don't get divided over this. You need to go and handle that, but handle it God's way. Do what Jesus said. Go to them. If they don't hear you, take someone with you. If they don't hear you, take someone to the church, and they'll determine and decide. Let's walk in unity, forgive them, overlook an offense. Let love cover, it's not worth it. Those are the people that you need in your life. Those are the people that you want building you up and blessing you, because when challenges hit, you're going to need them. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5 and 6 in the New Living Translation, I was just talking about this section of scripture with my son because it bears his name. I have a son named Titus, and that's not a very common name, but you know, you find it in the Bible, and I tell him, hey, be the biblical Titus. Don't be the Titus that destroyed Jerusalem, all right? Not that guy, not the historical one, okay? But we were talking about this scripture because there's something about this guy in the Bible. There was something about this man that he was the right person for somebody that we consider to be great, and that's the Apostle Paul. Let's look at it, 2 Corinthians 7, 5, and 6. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says this. It says, when we arrived in Macedonia, there was no rest. Everybody say no rest. No rest for us. We faced conflict. Everybody say conflict. Conflict from every direction with battles. Say battles. Battles on the outside and fear. Say fear. Fear on the inside. I want you to notice no rest, conflict, battles, and fear. That is not having a good day, is it? Because they arrived in a new location. They arrived in an area. And all this turmoil all around. They've got external pressures and internal pressures. But look at verse number 6. But God, who encourages those who are discouraged, encouraged us. How did God encourage those that were discouraged? He encouraged us by the arrival of Titus. Oh my goodness. All it took was Titus showing up that they said, oh, thank God. Thank God Titus is here. Look at this guy. I just love him. You ever been around somebody that the moment they show up, you're just like, I feel better. They're here. I'm good. I am so good now. Oh, hey. You going to the party? No, you're not going? I'm not going. Right? There's just certain people that you're like, I trust them. Some of you parents have said that to your kids. Who's going? And when you heard, oh, so-and-so's going to be there, you can go. If they're not there, you can't go. Right? We've said that to our kids. Oh, who's going? Yeah. Oh, they're going? Yeah, you can go. But if they're not going, you don't go. If they leave, you leave. We've told our kids that. Because we trust that person. I don't trust everybody else. I don't know they mama. Come on. But if I know them and I know their mama, hey, I know what's going down. You can go. You know, my life personally, my wife, Jessica, has been the biggest help for me in my entire life. She is currently home with my son, Titus, who was a little stuffed up, so he's staying home tonight. Babe, I love you. Thank you for being the right person in my life. I'm so grateful for her. But there's been some other people. My parents, right? Both sides. Brothers, sisters, right? Amazing people that are in my life. Pastors. I've had pastors in this room. My goodness, people that have spoken in my life. Friends. People that are there to tell me, hey, Dan, you're wrong. Thank you. I needed that. Hey, Dan, you're right. Keep going. Thank you. I needed that, right? We got to get the right people in our lives. I remember it was a friend who gave me the pep talk I needed before I got married to put my feet in some warm water. That was his words, not mine. He said, put your feet in some warm water. Don't get cold feet. Just get out there and marry the girl because she loves you and you love her, and it's right. I needed that pep talk. It was faith-filled finance managers. Adam's over here. Where's Barbara at? Is Barbara here tonight? Usually she's here. Barbara and Dennis, my goodness. These two, I tell you, here at The Rock, when we go into our finance meetings and the finances stink, I'm sitting there like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? And you know the first thing that comes out of their mouth is the finance managers, Pastor, God's always had us before. He's going to have us in the future. This is nothing for God. You think money's anything to God? Listen, God can give us more money. God will take care of us. This is just a minor set. And I'm like, thank you for preaching to me. Pastor needs to be preached to sometimes. I'm so thankful for people like that. Why? Because they keep you going. It's things like an encouraging text, a prayer after a meal. Somebody said, hey, brother, I know we prayed before the meal, but let's pray after the meal. You know, there's times I've been on the phone with people, and this simple question changes my life. How can I pray for you? How can I pray for you? We got to get the right people around us. And at the same time, we have to be the right people for others. Can you say amen? Are you listening tonight? Third one. How do we develop the spiritual strength to endure the problems we face? Prayer, people. Third one is priorities. You got to have the right priorities, because when problems and challenges and pressures hit, your priorities will guide you through the problems. There's a Super Bowl, and guy was so excited to go to. He gets on his game gear, man. He's got the jersey. He's got the hat. He's got the face paint. Man, he's got his tickets to the Super Bowl. He goes down to the stadium, cuts through the crowd, finds his seat, and there he sits down. And when he sits down, he notices right next to him are two empty seats. Game's getting close to start, and he's thinking, man, this whole place is packed. There's not a seat over in the house. There's two seats next to me. And if I'd have known, I could have brought some friends or something. Right before the game starts, this little old lady comes walking up. She's walking very slowly over to the chair. She goes and she sits down right next to the guy. And he says, oh, is this your seat? And she says, yeah, it's my seat. I've got season tickets. He goes, well, what about the other seat over there? She goes, oh, that's for my husband. He says, well, where is he? And she says, oh, he died. He says, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that he died. She goes, no, that's okay. He said, well, you couldn't find a friend or someone else that could have gone with you to the game? She said, no, I couldn't. Apparently, they thought the funeral was more important than this. See, the priorities you establish beforehand will guide you in your decisions in moments of pain and moments of crisis. I think about Joseph, right? Joseph is one of the greatest guys you'll find in the Bible. You don't really find him messing up too much. About the worst thing that they can find, the only dirt they could dig up on this guy, is that he told everybody his dream beforehand. They thought, well, maybe he's arrogant. Maybe he's prideful. Maybe he wanted, sharing the dream in itself is not bad. I mean, it's not sinful to share a dream, is it? But really the heart attitude, and God never gives us the true Hollywood story behind the scenes where we get an interview with God or Joseph and find out that he was really prideful. So we don't know. He's one of those characters in the Bible that there's not really much bad about him. But I believe that Joseph had his priorities in order. Because even though he was betrayed by his brothers, cast into a pit, sold to a traveling group, and goes into the house of a man by the name of Potiphar, who we heard about last week in the message, what happens to this guy? In a moment of crisis, here is his master's wife asking him to come and lie with her. And he says, no, I'm not going to do that. Why? Because how could I do this great sin against God? Notice his priorities, when the pressure was on and he had a problem, his priorities gave him the answer. No, I'm not going to sin against God. If you ever wonder where you're going to find the strength to say no, it'll be in your priorities. How could I sin against God and commit adultery? How could I sin against God and fornicate? How could I sin against God and be out of my mind by doing mind-bending drugs or drinking myself into a drunken stupor? How could I sin against God and beat up my wife or my husband or my kids? How could I sin against God and do any of those things, right? The works of the flesh, the Bible says, are evident. And oftentimes, it isn't the problems or the temptation, the challenges, it's that we've got misaligned priorities. Because our flesh takes a priority over our allegiance to God. Our mind takes the priority over the Word of God. And rather than say, God said it, that settles it, I don't have to understand it to obey it, we say, no, tell me why, God. Why would you want me to do that? Well, I don't get it, God. Whole world out there has changed. Things are moving on. People are acting this way. Everybody's doing it. We sound like a little kid, don't we, talking to God? And God says, I didn't talk to you about everybody. Of course the nations are going to do their thing. Everybody's following the dictates of their own heart. God says, that's not for you. I've got a way for you that's good for you, because I know what's best. Father knows best. Your priorities will govern what you're going to do when you encounter these problems. How about the apostles? You know, the apostles let their priorities guide them. There was a time where they were traveling into the temple, and there was a man that was lying on a mat asking for alms. Peter says to him, silver and gold we do not have, but what we have, we give you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand up and walk. And he picks him up to his feet. And this man doesn't just walk, he leaps. He jumps for joy. It causes a big stir there in the temple. Everybody's there. They're all going there at the hour of prayer. And so everybody saw it. A notable miracle has been done. And so they quietly take the apostles and they pull them into prison. And the Sanhedrin, this is the ruling elite class of religious leaders at the time, they pull them in and they start to question them. What are you doing? What authority? What name are you doing this in? They said, in the name of Jesus. And they try and tell them, listen, you are not allowed to speak anymore in the name of Jesus. And I love what happens in Acts chapter number 4. Turn there with me to the New Testament. Acts chapter number 4. An amazing section of scripture. And I love how bold the disciples are. These are the Lord's apostles now. Miracle's been done. And they step up to the plate. But it was their priorities that this answer came from. Take a look at it with me in Acts chapter 4, verse number 18 and 19. It says, so they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Verse 19, but Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. I love that answer because it just throws it back in their face. Hey, you guys know the priorities. We're living by them. You're not. That's basically what they just said. See, their priorities of we have been given a mandate. The Great Commission, which is also the great command that God gave us. I know some people say the great command is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Yes, I agree. But the commission is not a suggestion. The commission is also a command. Go, therefore, and preach the gospel to all creation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. They had a command from God to go and do what God had said for them to do. And they said, you think we should listen to you more than God? You tell us. What's the priority here? And obviously, they couldn't stand against that wisdom. Because if the priority was right, then they would do what God said. And I believe it's the same for us today. If our priorities are right, we're not going to cheat on our taxes. If our priorities are right, we're not going to steal company time or pencils or paper clips or anything else. We're not going to misuse and abuse the people around us. We're going to be those value-added people that are putting relational equity in. And when someone else is going through a problem, we're going to be there to lift them up and encourage them. See, if our priorities are right, then when the problems and the challenges and the temptations and the trials hit, guess what? We will be ready. Which brings us to the last one. Brings us to the last one for tonight is this. How do we prepare ourselves for those challenges and those trials, those problems? Because God has answers. God has direction for great difficulties. Last one is this, is processes. Processes. This doesn't seem like a fun one. This doesn't seem like it's all that great. And yet, in many ways, I saved the best for last. I mean, I know I opened with a great one, prayer, but your processes are as important as your prayers. Because there's a God side to things and there's a man side to things. And the processes you implement can cause a muscle memory for when the pain of a problem hits. This can be a positive or it can be a negative. And I know in my life personally that there are certain pain points that things come out of my life from a programmed response. I'll give you one of them. Actually, I'll give you two of them. I'll give you a negative and I'll give you a positive. Okay, in the negative sense, I know that when people leave the church and someone comes to me and say, Pastor, so-and-so left the church and they, you know, just spewed venom on their way out. The first thing that comes out of my mouth is, bless them, oh Lord. No, it doesn't. I can't lie in this pulpit. What usually comes out of my mouth is, well, they're a fool. That's a programmed muscle memory response. What comes out later when I come to my senses and I realize what I'm doing and what I'm saying is, Lord, bless them. God, I don't want to be mad at them, right? That's not the initial response. Now, let me give you another programmed response. This is muscle memory, all right? Because that was a negative one. Here's a positive one. There's times where people come to me and they say, hey, I'm going through a really hard time. And my immediate muscle memory response is, tell me about it. I lean in. I listen. And then at the end of that time where they talk, I say, hey, let's pray. And then I encourage them. It's a muscle memory response. Why? Because I've been there for people in the bad way where they say, hey, I'm going through a problem. I'm like, sorry, bro. And then I'm like, walk away. You know what I mean? Like, that's not what you're supposed to do. And so I got told, you suck. You know, and I'm like, okay, I need to get better at that. And so I've, over time, implemented a process. What I'm going to do, I'm going to lean in. I'm going to connect with them, look them in the eye. I'm going to ask questions. I'm going to say, mm-hmm, yeah. Because there's even been times where I've been listening. I've been told, hey, you stink at listening too. Are you even there? Like, did you go on a mental vacation somewhere else? I've been talking this whole time. You haven't even moved. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I was listening, you know? But I had to learn how to actively listen. Yes, tell me more about that. Oh, I bet that hurt. Hey, you know what? That's terrible. And I had to learn how to actively listen so that people would know that I'm not just this blank stare at them, but that I'm actually invested in what they're saying. And then when I pray with them and encourage them, that's a part of that whole process too that I've implemented. Now it's become muscle memory. And in your life, what are the things that you want to come out of you when problems hit? What are the challenges that when you think about, I'm facing those things? You may not even know. It might be that God, in your prayer time, when you're praying about the things up in your future, that God says, hey, I need you to start doing this. Right? Before you call mom, go to the Bible. Before you go and gossip, I need you to talk to me in prayer. God may implement some processes in your life. How about this one? Count backwards from 100 and go take a long walk. Y'all been taking in your management with Petey, right? You know what I'm talking about. There might be some things that you need to do, some processes that you implement. So when the problem shows up, it's muscle memory. That's why golfers will hit a ball thousands of times every day and every week, so that when they get to the tournament, their swing is muscle memory. Same thing with baseball, same thing with basketball. How many free throws do they hit in practice? How many three-pointers did they hit in practice before they ever get on the court to play the actual game? It's all muscle memory. In the 1800s, there was a young man who was an earnest Christian. He found employment in a pawn shop. Although he disliked the work, he did it faithfully as unto the Lord. In preparing for a life of Christian service, he wrote the following resolutions. I'm going to read them to you. I do promise God that I will rise early every morning to have a few minutes in private prayer, never less than five. I will endeavor to conduct myself as a humble, meek, and zealous follower of Jesus. And by serious witness and warning, I will try to lead others to think of the needs of their immortal souls. I hereby vow to read no less than four chapters in God's Word every day. I will cultivate a spirit of self-denial, and I will yield myself a prisoner of love to the Redeemer of the world. Notice the process that he was putting into his life. Things like prayer, things like reading the word, things like witnessing. He said, this is what I'm going to do. This is my process. This young man, his name was William Booth. He would later go on to win thousands to Christ and founded the Salvation Army despite opposition and trials. They literally tried to shut him and his church down, literally tried to come against him and his children. Problems and pressures arose, but because he had spiritual disciplines and processes in his life, he was able to go on and do great things. 1 Peter chapter 3, y'all ready for one more scripture? 1 Peter chapter number 3, we're going to go to verse 13 down through verse number 15. Hold on, I went too far, I hit Revelation, let me come back. 1 Peter, I always say that to you guys, I did it myself. 1 Peter chapter number 3, this is a great section of scripture, verse number 13. Through verse number 15. Look at it with me together. It says this, and who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? I want to just stop right there for a second to point out. Up on the overhead screens, I've highlighted in yellow, it says this, become followers of what is good. Notice the process. Become. You may not be there yet. That's okay. You're implementing processes in your life. You're starting something that you say, I'm going to do this. Become followers of what is good. Verse 14, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, there's the problem, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. Verse 15, but sanctify, set apart the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready. That's not just a fancy slogan for 511 jeans. That is something that God put in his word for you and I to live by each and every day. Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear. If you're going to be ready, it's going to be a process. See, you don't get ready for your day without a process. You got to brush your teeth. You got to comb your hair. You got to get dressed. You got to put deodorant on. You got to spray the cologne or the perfume or whatever it is. Got to eat breakfast. I got to read my Bible. I got to pray. I've got to see what's on the news. I got to say bye to my wife and my husband or my kids. I got to drive down to work, right? You have a whole process that you go through every day. And here's God saying, always be ready. Always be ready for what? To give a hope. to the people that are asking you for a reason for it. We need to have processes in our life so that it's muscle memory. Sometimes you won't even know it until you're halfway through it or all the way through it. You realize, man, I implemented things in my life that when the moment came, it just came out of me. It's almost like going into a dream. You'll be like someone that woke up and said, what just happened? And your buddy that's a Christian will be like, man, you know you were quoting scriptures? How long did it take you to memorize all those scriptures? You'd be like, well, I've been a Christian for 13 years, reading the Bible every day. Never memorized one of them, but you didn't know that you were putting processes in. That at the right time, the Holy Spirit was able to grab that and pull it out of your life. Come on, are you listening tonight? See, the spiritual disciplines will keep you strong for when trials come. And your spiritual muscle memory will kick in, and you'll be ready for what's ahead. Come hell or high water, man, you'll be able to swim, and God will protect you from whatever's coming against you. See, what will resource you in a problem is what you've developed in peace. It's the prayers you pray beforehand, the people who will anchor you, the priorities you establish, and the processes you implement. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me tonight? And let's just let the Holy Spirit just quicken this word to our hearts. Let's let him apply it to our lives in a very practical way. Just ask the Holy Spirit, say, God, what are you speaking to me? And then listen for his voice. Doesn't take long for God to speak. If you put a scripture or a word in your heart, make sure to write it down. Maybe tonight God's asking you about your prayer time. Might be prompting you to pray. Could be he's showing you some people that you need to get in your life, or maybe you need to be there for someone else. Tonight, God might be rearranging some priorities. You might be reprioritizing yourself and saying, God, I know I've had other things above you, but tonight I'm putting you in the highest place where you belong. Maybe tonight God's showing you those processes, those disciplines. Maybe he's telling you to get up earlier or to stay up late. Maybe he's just telling you to manage your time better so that you can put the effort that you need into the things that are going to allow you to overcome when the problems and the trials hit. Again, make sure to write it down. You're welcome to share with a faith-filled friend, your spouse, someone that you trust. There's those people again, right? It's always encouraging. It brings accountability. Now you got to do it. You told someone you got to do it. But it also brings agreement. There's tremendous power in agreement. When someone's there in your corner saying, yeah, I believe in you. I believe in what God's doing in you. Man, there's such power there. God blesses that. And our prayers are even more effective when we agree. Can we agree tonight together? Father, I thank you for this great congregation that you brought here to the Rock. Lord, thank you for your people, God. I just so want to see them blessed. As a pastor, I get no more greater joy as a pastor than to see them succeed. And so I pray, Father God, that you would urge them. Holy Spirit, pray your prayers through them. God, they don't even know what they need in the future, but you do. And so I pray that you pray those prayers through them, God, with groanings and utterances that can't even be expressed, as it says in your word in Romans 8. God, I pray that you surround them with the right people, faithful friends, God. Maybe there's someone they don't know yet that's in this church, or maybe you're bringing them sometime soon, crossing their path with other believers that they need, God. Father, I pray that their priorities would be in order, and that their processes would be strong and healthy so that when the problems hit, God, they will come through it with flying colors. They will overcome, as it says in your word, because they're not fighting from a place of defeat, being overwhelmed or overcome, but no, they're fighting from the place of victory that you give us in your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. We're all in agreement. We say amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord one more great big praise tonight? Amen. Well, hey, before we let you guys go, I got one more thing I want to do with you, and then we'll let you guys be dismissed for tonight. So I'm going to ask everyone remain seated at this time. No one get up, no one leave, and especially for those of you that are in the leave early section, you got to get home, I get that, but don't disturb the children's ministry because they're also, and the youth ministry, they're also in a time just like we are right now. I want to talk to you about your eternal life. All of us are eternal beings. All of us are going to live forever. We're only going to end up in one of two places the Bible describes. One of them is heaven. Heaven is a place where God lives. We'll be with him forever. It's a place of reward. It's a place of blessing. It's a place of praise, the goodness, eternally. Or it's a place called hell. Hell is a place of torment. It's a place of bitterness and disconnection. The Bible calls it darkness, fervent heat, weeping and gnashing of teeth. And we get to choose with our lives while we're here on the earth where we end up, whether we go to heaven or whether we go to hell. A lot of times people get the wrong idea about heaven. They think, well, all roads lead to heaven. I'm going to go to heaven. I'll do my thing. You do your thing. I've got my truth. You've got your truth. You do you, boo-boo. You do you. Did you know that nowhere in the Bible does it say that all roads lead to heaven? It's not there. Not going to make it to heaven by floating down the lazy river of life. There's only one way to heaven, and that's God's way. Sometimes people say, well, I know God's way is by being good, but you know that you can't be good enough to earn your way into heaven? The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've all broken God's laws. We've all violated our conscience. And therefore, we're not deserving of that connection with God because the standard to get to heaven based on your own merit is perfection. And no one is perfect except one. His name is Jesus. Sometimes people say, but I was raised in church. My parents told me we were Christians growing up. Do you know nowhere in the Bible to say your family association, your location on the earth, is going to get you into heaven? I don't care if you wore a cross or St. Christopher, t-shirt that said Jesus or got a tattoo with a scripture on it. It's not going to get you into heaven. Yeah, you could have been baptized or christened as a child, went to religious classes. But that's not going to get you into heaven. There's no default settings because you're not some other religion that by default, you get lumped into the category of being a Christian. You get to head for heaven and deny hell. Sometimes you think, well, I wasn't just a child as going to church. Here I'm in church right now in front of you. In fact, my last church as an adult, I got involved, helped out, sang in the choir, carried the pastor's Bible, made decisions. People thought of me as a leader. Even got a membership card to that church. You know that nowhere in the Bible does it say God's looking for your membership card to your church or your attendance record? He's not looking for your volunteer hours. It's not going to get into heaven. You might think, but Pastor, I know God. I know about Jesus. I know about Easter and the resurrection. Sing the songs at Christmas every year of my life. I've got scriptures memorized, Old and New Testament. Doesn't that mean that I'm a Christian? Well, no. You know that in the Bible, you'll find the devil quoting scriptures. He's not a Christian. He's not going to heaven. The demons believe and they tremble. They're not going to make it. Everybody look up here at me, even online, look at your screen right now. This is not about having mental assent towards God. It's not about acknowledging who Jesus is with your understanding mentally. But rather, it's about your heart. God's always been after your heart all throughout the Bible, Old and New Testament. Jesus said it like this in John, the third chapter. He said, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. There's no other way. Remember, it's God's heaven, got to get there God's way, and Jesus is God in the flesh. And he said, you must. It's not a suggestion. It's not a way. It's the way. You must be born again. You're not going to make it to heaven any other way. You have to simply surrender to God all of your heart and simply surrender to God all of your life. As you do that, he comes in and he makes you brand new. That's the being born again part. It's the real you on the inside that lives forever. These physical bodies will be cast away and will succumb to mortality. But our spirit man lives on for eternity. That's the part of you that needs to be born again. That happens when you come to God and you say, I give up. I surrender. I'm going to do this your way instead of my way. As you do that, God comes in and he makes you new on the inside. There are those of you in this place, you need to do that tonight. And I'm going to give you that opportunity. I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. When I say three, I'm going to pop my hand on this microphone. Bang, just like that. When you hear my hand, pop on that microphone. Bang, that's your opportunity to simply raise your hand. And what you're doing by raising your hand is you're saying, I want to be born again, head for heaven, and deny hell. I'll see your hand go up, I'll count it, you put it right back down. See, but if you point and count, Pastor, I'll be embarrassed. Yeah, you might be. That's okay. Think of the trade-off. Isn't it better to be embarrassed for a moment than it is to end up in hell forever and ever and ever and ever? No one make that trade. Yet the devil's going to try and talk you out of this right now. Jesus said this. Jesus said, if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me, I will deny you. Tonight, your call. Tonight, your choice. You can sit there and do nothing. You made a choice. Or how about this? Get right with God tonight in the safe and friendly church service. No one's criticizing or judging or condemning. You need to give God all of your heart. You need to give God all of your life. And you can do that tonight. Tonight is your night of salvation. Don't wait another moment. Sometimes people think, I got more time. Listen, we don't know our last days. We don't know our last breaths on the earth. We're all one accident, one incident, one virus, one bomb, one breath, one earthquake away from eternity. And Jesus could come back at any time, the Bible says. You need to be ready for his coming. Sometimes people say, well, Pastor, I prayed that prayer. Well, it's not just a prayer. It's a surrender of all of your heart and life. You can't just throw up a prayer one time and expect to have fire insurance, live like the devil, and think you're going to go to heaven. God listens to the words of your mouth, then he watches your life to see if it follows. And if not, you're not going to make it. Sometimes people say, well, I'm not sure. Well, tonight, make sure. Have you been running from God instead of to God? Tonight, it's your night. Have you been in church all your life, but you never crossed that line, surrendering everything to him? Come on, then, tonight is your night. Maybe you've been in church, but you're lukewarm. Little in, little out, little up, little down, little token prayer, occasional church attendance. God is something in your life, but he's not everything. You're not opposed to God, but you're not wholehearted for God. Listen, Jesus said, when I come, I want to find you hot or cold, because if I find you lukewarm, I'll vomit from my mouth. What's Jesus saying? He's saying in or out. You can't do both. Some of our parents told us that when we had the door open to outside, right? They said in or out. You can't do both. You have to make a choice. Tonight, it's your night of salvation. Make the right choice tonight. Choose life. Life eternally with God in heaven forever. It all starts, this journey starts by simply raising your hand. You know who you are. Get ready to get your hands up on the count of three. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Let me see your hands. Just raise them up high right now if that's you. Raise it up real high. Need to give God all of your heart. Need to give God all of your life. There's one in the back. I got you right there. There's two over here. There's three in the back. Four right there. Yeah, thank you. God bless you. Who else tonight? Tonight is your night of salvation. Anybody else real quick? Don't clap just yet. Don't clap just yet. There's five right there. There's five right there. Hey, who else tonight? Six in the back. I got you. I got you. Anybody else? Listen, if you're not sitting in the back, but you need to raise your hand, you're welcome to do that, okay? I'm joking. Seems like a lot of people sat in the back tonight. Hey, that's okay. Sometimes we feel far from God, and physically that takes place because we don't feel like we can come near. And yet God is saying, I've given you access. You can come have a relationship. There's about five or six wise people. Anybody else? Just want to make sure I didn't miss you tonight. Anybody else? It's going to give you one more opportunity, one more moment. Need to surrender to God everything, all of your heart and all of your life. Anybody else? Last call. We're wrapping this up. Anybody else? All right, let's give the Lord a hand for five or six wise people. Can we all stand together in the presence of God as we stand? Those of you that raised your hand, or maybe you should have raised your hand, but you didn't. It's not too late. Want you to hold your coat, purse, sweater, Bible, a friend if you need a friend. Want you get in the aisle and meet me up front, because we're going to change destinies together. All right? So would you just come down to the front right now if you raised your hand or should have raised your hand? Come on, let's give them a hand as they come. They're coming. They're coming. Come on. Just get out of your seat, get in the aisle, and meet us up front right here. Come on. Hallelujah. They're coming. Come on. You can come too. Those of you guys in the back, hey, you raised your hand. If it's worth raising your hand, it's worth coming and getting. Come on down. Come on down. Anybody else? Come on down right now. Come on down. Who else tonight? They're still coming. Come on. Let's keep it going for them. Come on. If you need to come, just come. Come on down. They're making their way to the front. You can come too. We got time. Come on. Come on. Church, nudge your neighbor. Say, come on, friend. If you need to go, I'll go with you. And then bring them right now. Bring them on down. Anybody else? Well, hey, everybody up front, praise God for you guys. I'm so glad that you came to give God all of your heart and life. It's a special thing. Today you're going to be brand new. I want to encourage you to keep going with God. Jesus said, he who endures to the end shall be saved. This is not just a one-time thing. You walk an aisle and that's it. Listen, you're signing up for a lifetime of serving God and following him. As you do, God's going to give you the strength and encouragement. Like I talked about friends, the right people in your life, we've got some people here that want to encourage you and help you in that walk. They want to see you come back to church. Get strong and healthy in the ways of the Lord. My friend, Pastor Joel over here, for time's sake, I'm going to have him pray with you, okay? So he'll just take you to a private room, okay? Nothing weird's going to go on. I'm going to beat you up or anything like that. He's going to lead you in a prayer to invite Jesus in your heart. You're going to be born again. He's going to give you some free information, introduce you to some wonderful people we have here, okay? Some faith-filled friends, right? That'll help you get started in the right direction. So then when you find a problem, guess what? They'll be there to encourage you, lift you up. So if you guys just make a left turn and follow Pastor Joel right this way. Come on, let's give him a hand as they go. Hallelujah. For those of you joining us online, if you raise your hand, you can go to our homepage and find the tab that says Know God, and there will be a video that leads you in that same prayer, and you can put in some information. We would love to connect with you even online. Well, hey, Rock family, you guys good? All right, excellent, excellent. So I expect all of you to be listening to Pastor Tracy's album on your way home, all right? So after that message, I want some jazzy, soulful, contemplative music, all right? So praise the Lord, it's going to be good. Thank you for allowing us to share that with the church family here. We're so blessed and excited for you, and I know God's going to use that to do great things. They're so humble. They're like, no, we didn't even want to put it up. We weren't even going to. But Pastor Jess was like loving it. Even though she didn't understand the Spanish, she was like, man, this is great. So anyways, I can't wait to listen, and I'm excited to hear the English stuff too. So God is good. Hey, can I bless you as you go? Would you lift your hands to the Lord? Father, these are your people called by your name. God, they're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming and going. May everything they put their hands to, they prosper. God, may they be prepared. Lord, I thank you, Father God, that they're going to pray. They're going to get their priorities, the right people, and the right processes in their lives so that when the problems hit, God, they overcome. And I thank you, Father God, about our Inland Empire. We declare out loud on purpose and in faith that the Inland Empire shall be saved.
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs. We call them spiritual personal trainers to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.